Welcome to Universal Soul Love Radio, and we're live with BBS Radio from Australia. And the reason why you're hearing my voice rather than Dr. David Love and Lana Love is the fact that we have decided to do the show Valentine's Way, which means that we're going to listen to how Lana and David met up. And because I'm hosting, it just indicates to you that I've been girlfriends with Lana for quite some years and watched as David came into her life. Now, my work as an energy medicine practitioner means that I'm assisting couples and singles as well in all the life issues, and watch and see that how people weave themselves into their own relationship with themselves, because that's the first most important place to get stable. And then the intimate relationship can occur when we're steady and more completed within ourselves. We then attract a person who's more completed, and then the relationship is going to be more comfortable. Now I'm going to introduce Detective David Love and Dr. Lana Love. I'd love you two to tell us all, how did you two meet? It's best to start at the beginning.
All right. Hi, Susan. Nice to have you as our host, and great to be a guest on Universal Soul Love Radio.
Lovely.
So, yeah, great to be here. Happy Valentine's Day, everyone. I'm just going to start real quickly and just say we've got an abbreviated show today because I have an advanced security training class that I'm doing, so we're going to be ending early. But I think I will just go from there. Lana came into my life at a time when I was going through my spiritual awakening, and It was a kind of a crazy time for me because my father had died. He was very sick and had gone into a nursing home, and I had been sort of just reevaluating my life, and you know, I had been a private investigator for a long time and had lots of experiences, and I'd been meditating for about 3 years, and at the time that I met Lana, it was truly a spiritual awakening, because when my father died and I picked up his ashes, I started thinking, you know, this is a time when I'm feeling like, you know, I could die. And so it was sort of almost like a rebirth for me. And I'd been talking to Lana for about 3 months online, and just decided this is the time for me to just go do what I want to do and have no regrets and just live my life. And so I came to Australia thinking, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. And I really left everything behind. I started a new life in Australia, and it was very difficult. It's a different culture. Plus, I come with a criminal justice background, in private investigation security. So I'm coming with into a very different culture where I was working with very aggressive lawyers and prosecutors and police and an adversarial court system and working in criminal defense and whatnot. So in coming to Australia, I'm meeting Lana for the first time, who's a medical doctor, mental health practitioner, and different background, different culture. She had two children. One was a teenager, one was younger, great kids. And I never had children. And we had both just coming into it with different experiences. And so it came with unique challenges. And
yes.
So, yeah, I don't know what you'd have to comment on that, Susan, because you got to know us very well and helped us along the way a lot with our relationship.
Well, I noticed how Lana was wanting to change and expand her own life. She was, as you say, talking to you online, and this is how you actually began to get to know each other and notice that you had a lot of similarities in what you were genuinely interested in life. Once you arrived in Australia, yes, it did, I noticed, throw you into a state of very fast learning with two almost teenage girls, and that's a big experience for anybody just on a starting place. But it would have opened you up so much more. What a very powerful decision you made to live life with no regrets. And then to step into a close personal relationship with so much going on and organize Lana's business life for her. The sort of the business side of her life had been probably her hardest place to have, for her to have enough time to get organized, and because she was working and looking after the girls all of the time. And as kids come into teenage, there's so much going on in their lives. They need to be going here, there and everywhere. And she was really looking for a partner who could take part in her life as much as she could take part in his life, from my perspective of what I watched. And as you two have adjusted to one another, it's been an absolute privilege for me to notice that any difficulties that you've had, the three of us have got on the line and we've talked these situations through and found solutions to things. Just with the assistance of a third person has been useful, and it's shown me how valuable that it is for anybody, no matter what they're doing in their life, whether it's an intimate personal relationship or not, to have somebody who's steady and able to have that objective eye, and it can be most useful. And you guys have had the courage to face so many different adjustments, you from one country to another and getting qualified again in your work here. But also the two of you have discovered, from my perspective, an enormous amount of samenesses in you. Look at this radio show, for instance. How exciting was it to make those discoveries that Lana would just step into that so mm-hmm. easily, David?
This was, it's been exciting. I'm floored by the number of, just the number of projects that we've taken on, and the accomplishments we've had in this relationship are just amazing. And Lana's just been so eager to step into that role with me. And I think that's why I needed someone like Lana in my life to challenge me and to really encourage me to become more of who I was striving to be. And she's, supported me in this radio show, because I had been doing, wrote a couple of books on personal growth and spirituality. And then I'd been doing a lot of radio shows as a guest with other people that we work with now. And so I said, why not start another radio, our own radio show? And Lana jumped right into that and became a host with me. And a couple of years ago, we started Universal Soul Love, and now we're involved with many of our guests and other organizations with a few other projects. Things are moving along very nicely at this time, with you, Susan. You're working with us on some of these, and things are just, it's great to have a partner who can do that and support you in your goals. And we do that for each other, and we try to be mindful of supporting each other. And I do think that it's, any relationship has its challenges, and it's about the individual in the relationship. And you've been coaching us a lot on that, especially me, and that it's about you and your agreement with yourself, not the other person. We talk about a lot.
Yes, so. We do. It's very important. And Lana has met a lot of the things and projects you've had with a lot of positivity and vivacity, because her personality just loves to explore new things. And that's been very good, because your capability with the more technical things and business-like things in life has balanced her so nicely. So balance is another very important word in a close personal relationship, and it has certainly shown me how, even though you two didn't know one another personally to start with, you jumped in anyway and were able to fill that didn't know and make it a very expanded relationship, because you've done a lot of traveling, haven't you? And that helped your business because you've met a number of the people you've interviewed, haven't you?
Yeah, that's right. Lana and I have been to America a couple of times. And we've been to Punta Cana. We've been to all over Australia for the Monroe Institute, Mount Shasta, this past year. So we've certainly met a lot of people and done a lot of things. And it's been very exciting. And is Lana back on?
Hello. Yes. Hello.
Hi, Lana.
We're glad to have you back, Lana.
Yes, I don't know what happened.
Okay. We started to talk about how you guys met, and we've mentioned a little bit about your involvement, but let's hear it from you, how you started in the relationship and how it has been for you. And we'll give you a chance to give us a little bit of information there.
Well, where do I start? I guess I should start from the fact that I was absolutely 100% focused on manifesting my soulmate. And yes. I read up on this and I thought a lot about this, and I put love symbols up around my room, and I focused on having someone that would really be not just a romantic relationship, but someone who would really be interested in the things that I'm interested in, that is consciousness, spiritual awareness. I really wanted someone with whom I could evolve and who would be with me in the journey of life, and someone with whom I could do projects together, like the radio show or like books, or someone who would really be a part of my life. And so, you know, I did the dating thing. I, you know, made sure that I tried to get out there doing things that were spiritually aware. And we ended up meeting through, well, I ended up having first contact through Facebook, you know, which is not strange because all of my Facebook friends are in the spiritual community. And then one day I decided, look, I really want to have an author who, a mystic author. I was that specific because I was very interested in mysticism and I wanted to write myself. So I actually Googled mystic authors and came up with a few and decided to email a few. And I emailed David and he emailed back, and I noticed he was actually one of my Facebook friends. And we had a very interesting conversation, very deep, and I thought, this guy's very intelligent. And then he started flirting with me. I thought, oh, okay, you're romantic. Might as well. And it was as specific as that.
Yes. It's quite remarkably good how you have listed off so many features of your relationship. You actually specified and asked for exactly... along with you wanted a soulmate. And so then asking for a mystic author, my goodness, you know, that's exactly how David tags himself, don't you, David?
Yeah, I do. I mean, it's just a title I use just for preference. But, Lana has an amazing manifesting ability. She's really good at that. She's a very powerful spirit and mind. She's very good at everything she does.
Sure. I must say though, and for our listeners out there, it didn't work for a long, long, long time. I mean, I'm usually very, you know, much better at manifesting other things. Like, you know, I'm really good at going to finding things that I really want, manifesting the right, I guess, the beautiful decoration for home and going to various stores and things like that. But finding a husband is much more difficult than doing that. And for many, many years, you know, I would be asking and asking the universe to send me my soulmate, and nothing works. You know, I would meet really interesting people, but I wouldn't have that right connection. And, you know, it can take a long time for, I guess, that soulmate on the other side to answer, or for the conditions to be correct.
It
could be that the universe has its
thing. Yes, I was going to just say that you said a very important thing there, for the conditions to be correct. And in all of the things that we've been learning together as a trio, but also what I've been doing with my clients, it's the sum total of a person vibrationally, what energy they are putting out, what wavelengths they are on. And we so often say, oh, look, I met so-and-so and we were just on the same wavelength. It's that. And it works really well. And it certainly did with you two, didn't it, Lana?
Yes. Absolutely. You know, we're interested in almost exactly the same things.
Mm. Yes.
Yeah, we have a lot of the, we definitely have, it's compatibility, and we certainly have a lot of the same beliefs, ideologies, values, goals, similar ambition, drive, and a different, a yearning to make positive change in the world. And I don't know, just on many, we relate well on many levels, for sure. And I always, I sort of, for myself, manifested Lana very quickly. I don't know if that had something to do with that connection I've always had since my spiritual awakening with the divine feminine essence, the goddess, or whatever name you give to the feminine energy. But it happened much faster for me. But it is something to do with the timing of the universe, like you said, Susan, when things are right. And I remember, Lana, you were telling me that you were actually using Arielle Ford's CDs on manifesting a soulmate. And it was kind of interesting because soon after we worked with Lynn Rose, who came on our show when we first started Universal Soul of Radio. And then we met Arielle Ford, and we were interviewed for her, I think it was her last book, How to Turn Your Mate into Your Soulmate. And we were interviewed along with Lynn Rose and Bob Doyle in that book, and Christina Williamson and some other well-known authors and life coaches. So it was very, very synchronistic, I guess. Interesting. We had some interesting times and experiences together.
Absolutely. And the fact that Lana had a number of things in her life that she was trying to be the main person in life for the whole little family that she had, and effect the separation and being on her own and managing all of that, it was a while, Lana, wasn't it, before yourself was in alignment really with having somebody to actually be in your personal place and share that. You just had to get that a little bit more organized, and then it began to happen.
Well, I guess maybe that's what it was, or maybe it was to do with when David was free. Who knows how these things work. But I guess the main thing is persistent, persist with what it is that you really need in life. And having said that, I think alignment with people isn't always the same. I think what I'm beginning to realize more and more is that we are ourselves ever changing. Our own vibrations are ever changing. And what I know, not just with David, with other people, sometimes you can be really in alignment, almost 100%. Other times the alignment's not quite the same. You know, you might be interested in different things, or you might be just not buzzing on the same level. It actually changes from day to day. We are very, very changeable, and I think we have to realize that. And we have to realize that there are times we are not in alignment, and we are not getting on, that can actually change as well. It can change back into alignment. It doesn't mean that it's not the right person. It means that something is different, and we have the power to change alignments at any time.
Yes. Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. Yeah, that's an important piece to love relationships. Yeah.
But it also means that a few skills of patience and observation of each other, as well as self, and a little bit of adjusting and giving people time to move the way they need to, and the freedom to do so within a relationship, and just letting them be who they need to be on a different in a different place, in a different way slightly, and then, as you say, building that alignment back again. Lana, that's really very, very wise the way you put that. I'm very impressed with that.
Well, I agree. Sadly, I've been working on that with you, Susan.
We're
been
looking
working on
at the time and realizing that it is not far off closing time, and I want to say thank you to you both. It is a very big thing to be open and honest about your personal relationship, and I'm sure that people who have been listening to you a long time are really delighted to know how you connect, and what a lovely bond you two have. Please say whatever you want to finalise.
It's 1:30. Our show goes till 2.
You two are welcome to. I have to go back to my security licensing training class, but you two can continue with this till 2:00.
Okay. We can. You want to do that, Mark?
Why not?
Okay.
I can finish up here in a few minutes. I just want to say that I've certainly been finding that I've been working a lot on myself in my relationship with Lana. And I think that relationships are the perfect vehicle for learning about yourself in relation to your partner, in relation to the world, in relation to everything. And it's just a great vehicle for experiencing the world in it, because it's such a concentrated experience being in a romantic partnership or a love relationship, whichever term you want to give it. And the amount of learning that you can do about yourself is incredible. And but you really have to be self-aware, and you really have to be conscious of your thoughts and your behavior in the relationship, and be willing to look at it and examine it, and be willing to want to improve upon yourself, your character, and refine your character and aspects of your personality. And I've always been with you, Susan. I've been working on trying to balance myself better, regulate my thoughts and my my moods, emotions, etc. And modulate, and just try to always come back to my center and just reflect on things and try to always stay, we've all had, and I'm not going to go into the healing stuff, but because we've talked a lot about that, but we're always working on that as well, on our self-healing and with all of our many lives that we've had, and other existences and whatnot, that tend to show up as baggage in this life and in our relationships. And I've also just want to mention that when I had contact with the feminine consciousness during my psychic awakening or whatever, I remember her saying to me that it's actually relationships that are the most important thing in the world, and that it's life is all about relationships. That's what I was told. I did come back into this life from that experience. I don't know how well I'm not really explaining this, because it probably sounds a bit vague, but I came in to learn about love, and so it's been working out really well, and I really love Lana and appreciate having you in my life. And just a happy Valentine's Day. And I'm going to move on and go to my class.
Okay. Thank you so much for your time. We're delighted that you were able to join us. And Lana and I will continue on. How does that sound?
Sounds good.
Thank you for your time, David.
Lana, are you still online with us? Is Lana still online?
I'm still here.
Is Lana? Good.
Okay.
Beautiful.
All right. All right. Bye.
Thank
for now, from
bye.
Detective
bye.
David
bye
Love. You on. Bye.
Bye. So, Lana, what David was saying there about the courage to look into yourself, and we've often said that the person that you're in a relationship with is your mirror to look into yourself. And then online, we look at all of those crazy-looking emails and funny pictures that are actually being combatant, looking at women in one corner of the boxing ring and men in the other and fighting at each other. It doesn't bring intimacy and peace and enjoyment in the relationship, does it, to do that?
No, that's right. Yes. So it's very, very, very interesting to think about your own partner as your own mirror. And I think it's very wise to do that. And it's very wise to always, if you're in a entering discord, to realize that the discord is not just outside yourself. It can be inside yourself as well. It takes a lot of years to practice that, but I think people can grow very much from those, from times that you are in discord. So I think, if we change our view to view times of discord and times of learning, I think that can be of great benefit.
Yes, and a time while you're feeling the discord to be aligning next to one another to help each other and adjust to each different thing and take a moment before reacting and let the other person have a little bit of freedom here and there to just make the adjustments they need as well as you're making your adjustments. And that way you do these things hand in hand, level with each other, side by side, and it is a much more comfortable experience of the relationship. And having had a very powerful love in my life, even though my husband passed away, that powerful love taught me a great deal that fighting and combating was not working, whereas when we were aligned to one another and we were patient, because we were very different people indeed, very different. So these mixes are what we are attempting to balance.
You know, I'd like to take this time to talk a little bit about Buddhist concepts of non-self. Because when you talk about aligning next to each other, what can really help is trying to discard that sense, that powerful sense of self. And in Buddhism, there's a big emphasis on, I guess, realizing the illusion of self, which allows the self to crumble away. And of course, when that sense of self crumbles away, and that of course can make you feel even more powerful, that sense of self that you grab onto, that sense of, oh, I've been hurt, you know, as someone has really trampled over my ego, when you get rid of that, and when that sense of self dies away, then there is actually nothing to hurt. There is nothing to really grab onto. And that is a concept that I really find very useful for any, I guess, personal interactions that can be, combative.
Yes, and it's very important that when you feel an alignment to something that is giving you insight and you're able to put that into your life and find that it has a valid practice for you, a valid contribution, absolutely utilize that, because aren't we here to explore and find out what works for us and how to get that energy of love to be our most useful ability to move around in life and get the most from it?
Yes, absolutely. The energy of love is a lovely way of putting it. That's a very powerful energy, isn't it? And of course, energy of love is not just in a romantic relationship, but it is in everything we do.
Yes.
In fact, many people have described love as, rather than loving someone else, described love as an actual state of being. I think in Tantra they talk about that, love as being a state of being, so that you actually enter love, you actually can be in love without necessarily having relationships. You can just be in the state of love.
Yes, and you do have to live in yourself at the same time, and you can work with what you were saying, absenting the stronger aspects of sense of self while still knowing how to relate to people. But if you have got an inner environment of peacefulness in yourself and lovingness, and you go, you've got you're sounding very pensive today, Lana, but some days you and I have had such fun giggling and laughing and being playful, and you have got such a great joy and bounciness in your personality, and that is a very, very big resource to be able to call on that natural positivity and then enhance that to loving more of what you're doing, who you're around, what you're and looking for, the things about the people around you that you can love about them, that you can like about them, first of all, if it's a little bit challenging, and then move towards a stronger feeling of enjoyment and find those positive things about people, it can become a game almost, looking for the positive things in everything.
That's lovely. You're certainly a very playful person.
You and I meet each other at that playful nonsense. But when I was a little girl, I had a very critical illness for quite a number of months, and I had to be in bed and all of the rest of it. I didn't consider myself at all at the age of, you know, 7 or 8 to be sick. I felt that I just needed to let my body get better, and the me inside me felt fine, thank you very much. And I was planning getting back on horses and going back to my ballet and all of the rest of it. And I began reading Heidi, and I began reading all sorts of other girly books, and I found Pollyanna, and I began to realize that I really loved the glad game that Pollyanna played. And I began to actually apply that to my life. I'm here stuck in bed. I can only talk to people when they actually come into my room. How do I be glad about some of these things that are not so good? Because I was a very social person. And that helped me immensely.
Oh, so you've been Pollyanna-ized. That explains a lot.
It was very helpful, Lana. It really was very helpful, because in finding what needed to be looked at that I could say, I'm glad about this, even though the situation's like that, I'm glad about this, and I'm pleased that's like this. Then I began to look at those positive things in life, and it really set a platform in me as a person, and it became a part of my personality to be able to swing to the positive a lot of times. And I mentioned my late husband passed away. It isn't much fun when the love of your life gets critically ill and then eventually does pass. And he seems to need to do that. And I just had to accept. And that was very, very useful. Again, there was a place where I had to say, right, I'm just going to mend whatever it is that has created the love of my life dying out of my life, and mend myself, because I already could feel that there would be relationships up in my future. And like you, having a soulmate, that's something that attracted me as well. And the experiences I've got out of that since have been very good. But the positivity, the putting of that love into the internal environment of it when I was quite young, has actually been self-generating over the years. And I think that's been a very, very helpful thing for me, and I'm extremely grateful for it.
Being able to be thankful for what is, seeing the positive and the negative, is probably one of the most important resilience, resourceful factors we can have in our personality.
Yeah,
you're absolutely right. Absolutely right. And that's something that I think I was always taught, and I try to have in my life. It certainly mends a lot of the pain. And I know that for you, Susan, I know that your husband passed away many years ago, and you actually do keep him alive in your memories. In fact, I believe that this, because he was quite spiritual, I believe that you have
often
around you.
Yes, I have to be honest and say that when Rod, his name is Rodney, when Rod passed, I was expecting that I'd seen and felt his, and we talked about it, his spirit seemed to grow. It seemed like it was burgeoning so big. It was just pouring out of him. He wasn't what you would describe as a spiritual person, and yet he would just come forward, Lana, with some of these really powerful and deeply wise things. And I would stop him and say, hang on a minute, mate, what you just said there? Did you hear what you just said? Which stopped him to listen to himself. And many times we ended up having a long conversation about it, and we did feel, while he was alive, that we had had so much inner knowing of each other that was way beyond our experiences of what we'd known, that we thought we knew of Rodney and Susan in this lifetime. So that was a funny experience, and he'd say to me, well, what is that? And I said, well, perhaps we've had other lifetimes together. So I've had sessions where I have gone into past lives, and sure enough, he's come forward. But once he passed, I was absolutely stepping back and letting his spirit go, because I felt it was going to rise and be parts of other realms that were a lot higher than Earth realm, was my thought at that time. And then I had people who were mediums and other like that around me who were saying, you realize that Rod's living there with you still, and his spirit's going to be around you for at least 18 months. And from then on, Lana, my life has had a long series of really surreal, weird experiences, and it goes on to this day. So,
which raises, I guess, the issue of, you know, romantic love, soulmate love, when one partner passes on, and the possibility of continuing some aspect of that relationship when their spirit is around you and continues on to be around you.
Absolutely. And I found that in the way in which I continued, I was busy doing the mending of the grieving, the loss and the missing. I found the missing him, having had somebody in my personal space for such long, missing him was quite difficult. And so I'd be busy using my energy healing tools on myself to mend that. But I was finding that I would start to just talk out loud and be saying, well, look, you know, if you can hear me, this is the this and that's the that, and that's on my mind and I'm wondering about that. And then I'd say, fine, now I've talked, I'm just going to put the radio on, and I'm going to play some music and just get my mind out of all of this stuff to change divert my attention to something else and lift me out of whatever that concern was. I put the radio on, Lana, and find that the person singing was relevant to our relationship, and also what they sang, the very words they sang next was like him answering me exactly what I had just been asking. Now, experiences like that rivet you to the spot quite seriously, let me tell you.
So interesting. I mean, I do know that about you, but you actually still have a relationship with him. And I think it's just amazing. It's just amazing. And I think it's something that would reassure many, many hundreds of people out there who have lost their partners. And I know that people have written about this, the ability to still have some sort of relationship with their soulmate on the other side. And what you've seen is amazing. You actually, without the relationship, you let it be, and then somehow, the answers from your soulmate can come back through music or through some other means. Just amazing, just remarkable.
Oh, all the time. And because he had a Harley motorbike, the number of times I'm doing things that are a good thing for me to do, go out and play or something like that, I'll start to drive out from home, and as soon as I hit the traffic, I can't tell you how many times, within moments, sometimes the very first major connection with traffic, there's a Harley. And I can't tell you how many times it's been so much like the bike that we used to ride together. So there's been times where other people have been with me and said, oh, my goodness, did you see that bike? It looked like that was Rod riding on the bike again. And that has happened with a person who doesn't take part in this kind of thinking at all. And what we've been doing just before that was a very personal to Rod thing that I needed to carry on after he was something he had been doing and taking responsibility for in life. And I said, don't worry, I'll follow through. And this was a follow through. And it was quite a remarkable experience for me to see this this person coming towards me that could easily have been a carbon copy of Rod on his motorbike. So that to me was like the spirit giving me a little pat on the back and saying, good on you, mate. Glad you did that. That was the right thing. I'm so glad that you were able to go do that because I needed it done. And it's like validation. It's feeling like you're accompanied, but not all of the time, Lana. There's coming and going. And there's a message here and then nothingness for a while. And my mother taught me this because when my mother was passing, she had a little bit of dementia, although she remembered me, and we could talk to one another, and she was frightened of passing. And we'd have these discussions, and I'd say to her, Mum, I'm quite sure that you're going to see your two brothers again and your parents. And my grandmother, my mum's mum, had been a spirit with me all my life. From when I was a child, I'd sensed Grandma. And she, my mum, when we had these discussions, I would say to her, when you pass, it feels to me like they're going to be there and welcome you over. So when you get there, will you give me a sign? And time and again, I had these discussions with her. Lana, she said yes. Mm-hmm. And Lana, when she passed, I have to tell you, it was an amazing experience. The very first time she gave me a sign, she called my name three times as clear as a bell and riveted me to the spot. And that was just the beginning of multiple signs my mother has given me too. So I feel that I've been able to communicate with people that I love and that I've known in life in whatever way I've needed to. And I haven't had that awful drag of, oh, I never said this to them in life. And though some people sing songs to that sort of thing, that's never been a difficulty for me because the spirit form that's gone comes back to teach me that I don't need to. And I wasn't expecting it. So that was really stupid. And how love can go on.
You did suggest that to them. You did set that up, and that's just an amazing thing to do. And of course we can do that with people that haven't passed either. And I think, Susan, you taught me that, you know, if you need to have a conversation with someone but you really can't, or you feel it's best not to, you can actually have a conversation with them in your head, and somehow that can actually change the energy. And that is just amazing.
And it works, and especially when you've got discord in a relationship that's vitally important to you, to pick a time, say you're driving from here to there by yourself, and you talk to that person, they're absent, and I call them absent chats, but the person is off doing something else at another part of their day and life, and yet they hear you. I can remember having lunch with a girlfriend of mine years ago, when Rod was alive, and she and I were talking about our partners and life and everything, and she said to me, so how's Rod? And I said, oh, he's gorgeous, and this has been happening, and blah-de-blah. And, I mean, he could be very ungorgeous sometimes because he could be very difficult, but at this point he wasn't. And it was early mobile phone time. She had her mobile phone sitting next to her at lunch, and I had mine sitting next to me at lunch, and we were chatting and eating. And my mobile phone rang. And I picked it up and said, hello. And he said, yeah, mate, what did you ring me for? And I said, hello, darling. You rang me. I didn't ring you. My mobile phone was sitting here on the table, and I'm having lunch with my friend. Remember I said to you I was coming down, I'd see her. And I had business in town, and I was having lunch with her as a separate thing. And he said, but, mate, my phone rang. I had to get up off the floor. He was putting down floor and wall tiles, right? And I had to clean my hands off and answer the phone. It was right up on the window. It was ringing. And I said, you're kidding. Well, I can tell you, I didn't ring him. I was just talking about him. And the phone connected energetically to his phone and dialed his number for me is the only way we could explain it, because I can tell you that experience had us talking about it for quite a long time. It was really fun.
Wonderful story. My goodness, that is amazing how things. Look, everything is energy. And and everything is in our mind as well. Our mind, you know, the world outside is a projection of our own mind, and we mentalize everything as well. So I guess, you know, the thing to remember is that we can mend anything that we want to mend from the inside.
Yes.
And
yes,
if we want to be loved, we start that love from the inside, and then that can produce wonderful manifestations on the outside. And equally, you know, if things don't go the way that we want them to go, we can go inside ourselves and mend, and that energy can come out and mend things for us. And that is that's a great, huge lesson that we are here to learn about, that we...
Yes.
That the love is everything, but that we can control much of that.
We can definitely direct it. And if we don't feel confident to do that, then there's the things like the energy tools that I use that a person can use. So either way, whichever way a person wishes to be able to mend their life, if they've got the clear, definitive idea, definitely want to mend this in my life, I feel we are going to be able to do that from now on. And on that note, looking at the top of the hour arriving, I'm going to say to you that perhaps we should round off the show. It's been taking us in unusual places, and at the same time, it's been a delight to talk to you and David. And we thank everybody for coming and listening to the show, and hope that you've got something for your relationship that will help you to, no matter what kind of a relationship it is, understand that if you can have that, keep building the love inside of yourself, it's only going to emit out and make a better world for you and a better life for you. And that, of course, is going to be reflected in your relationships. So thank you for coming. And we just
It's a wonderful Valentine's Day edition to our show.
Yes.
And thank you for interviewing us, Susan Brent.
Oh, you've been a delight.
And,
yes.
And this is Lana Ross, and saying goodbye from Universal Solar. Love you all. Bye for now.
And Susan Glynn. Bye for now.